I'm Fraser Kane. You're listening to the audio edition of Universe Today. My guest today is Simon Singh, author of many science-related books, including Fermat's Enigma and the Code Book. His latest book, Big Bang, investigates the origins of the search for our place in an ever-expanding universe. Simon speaks to me from his home in London. I want to apologize in advance for the murky audio quality. That's just what you get when you call London from Canada through Skype. I've got an audio transcript that you can refer to if you're having trouble making out what Simon said. Hi, Simon. Welcome to Universe Today.
Thank you.
So I just finished reading Big Bang, and I really enjoyed it. How did you choose it as a subject for your next book after the Code Book?
I think I was in an airport lounge one day, and I started chatting to somebody, and kind of said, "Well, what do you do?" And I started telling them that I was a science writer or science communicator, and got onto the subject of cosmology, and it suddenly struck me that this person was kind of, you know, fairly intelligent and, you know, very curious about the world, and yet they knew nothing about the Big Bang theory. In fact, they seemed to think that the whole thing was a fairy tale. So I started telling them about the Big Bang theory and the fact that it wasn't just a fairy tale, that there was kind of hard evidence to back it up. And I thought, well, hang on, you know, if this person doesn't know what the Big Bang theory maybe there are lots of other people who don't know what the Big Bang theory is. And that struck me as a huge shame that for thousands of years we've wondered where the universe came from. You know, we've looked up into the sky and we've wondered whether the origin of everything has been. Now we have a theory. I just thought it was a great shame that more people didn't know what that theory is. So that was kind of the motivation for writing the book.
And in doing your research for the book, did you find that you gained a deeper appreciation of the theory?
Oh, yes. You know, I mean, my background is not in cosmology. My background is a particle physicist. So I tend to write about things that are relatively unknown to me. I'm not a mathematician, so when I wrote Fermat's Enigma, I started from scratch and developed a whole new appreciation of number theory and pure mathematics. I'm not a cryptographer, so when I wrote the Code Book, you know, from scratch, again, I learned about the history of cryptography and why privacy and security is so important, not just historically, but also today. And so similarly, you know, as someone who really actually knew very little about astronomy and cosmology, it was a challenge, but really rewarding to have to spend 2 or 3 years exploring the world of astronomy and cosmology and getting to grips with it myself. And in a way that gives me, on the one hand it makes it tough because I've got a huge amount of work to do, but on the positive side I get a lot out of it. And two, maybe because I'm learning things for the first time, it helps me try and convey some of those difficult ideas to a more general audience. I look at people like Brian Greene. Now, on the one hand, he's got a huge advantage of having a great understanding of his subject, and he's one of the world's experts on string theory. That must help him when he writes his book. But on the other hand, it's all so familiar to him, he has to overcome the hurdle of not being blasé about it, you know, of not taking things for granted. I don't know, it's an advantage and disadvantage. There are clearly writers who are researchers themselves in the field and writers who are more generalists, and I'm certainly a generalist who has a background in particle physics and astronomy.
And when I read Big Bang, you could really see that the different pieces, the trains of evidence kind of all come together, and each one is quite amazing on sort of how, you know, a theorist made a prediction about perhaps what the nature of the universe was going to be, and then the observers, you know, in many cases found those observations to be true. I mean, the Big Bang obviously is still just a theory, like, you know, most scientific theories are just a theory, but at the same time, it almost holds a special place in scientific thinking.
I think in a way what the book is really about is what is science. You know, Fermat's Enigma is really a book about what's mathematics. The code book is more generally a book about what's technology. And the Big Bang is, you know, it's partly about, it's entirely about the Big Bang theory. But at a deeper level, it's about what is science? How does science work? How do we know a theory is true? How are theories developed? How are they tested? How do they turn themselves from being maverick theories into mainstream theories? That's really what I wanted to explore. The concept of paradigm shift in science, where you have one idea that maybe the world is flat, and eventually we all come to realize that the Earth is round. How does the community of science transform itself from having one belief into having the other belief? And I think, so that's really what the book's about. You know, this maverick idea, the Big Bang, comes along. Everybody else believes that the universe has been here forever, you know, certainly within the science community. And over the course of half a century, there's this paradigm shift to a universe that hasn't been here forever, but one that was created a finite time ago in a very different state to the universe we have today. And you use the expression, you know, just a theory. And what I try and explain in the book is, you know, as you say, everything is just a theory. But the question is, how much evidence do you have to back up your theory? So string theory is just a theory. It's very speculative. There's very little evidence to back it up. The Big Bang is just a theory. But there's a huge amount of evidence to back it up. The fact that we see the galaxy flying away from us shows us that the universe is expanding, that presumably it started in a hot, dense, compact state and expanded outwards. The fact that we see the abundance of hydrogen and then helium in the universe, that relative abundance can be explained by thinking that the universe started off hot, dense, and compact. And in that hot, dense, compact state, there were nuclear reactions that turned a lot of hydrogen into helium, giving us the exact ratio that we have today. If there was a Big Bang, there should have been an afterglow of the Big Bang, a radiation following the moment of creation, a cosmic microwave background radiation. Sure enough, we see that radiation with exactly the right wavelength as you would expect if there was a Big Bang. So it is just a theory, but it's just a theory with a huge amount of evidence. So that's that's what I'm trying to do in the book. And on the other hand, I believe that the evidence in favor of the Big Bang is now overwhelming, and it's just accepted in the same way that we accept that the continents drift around, or the same way that we believe that life developed through the theory of natural selection. And again, by evolution, by natural selection, there are gaps in that theory. It's incomplete. Similarly, the Big Bang theory is incomplete. It's not perfect. But on the other hand, it's clearly fundamentally and basically correct. And that's really what I want to try and express in the book.
Now, in reading the book, I got to the end, and I was actually surprised at how quickly it wrapped up. You sort of wrapped up with the cosmic microwave background radiation, and then I was kind of hoping to hear about some of the later advances about dark matter and dark energy and some of those. And you really just kind of added a few sentences at the end of the book. Why did you leave those out?
When I look around the bookshelves, I see lots of books that talk about dark matter and dark energy and string theory and inflation. And so in a way, very deliberately, my book is different because it focuses on what we do know rather than what we don't know. So while most people write about the frontiers of cosmology or the very latest speculative research, what I've done is to say, let's look back at what we do know. Let's look at the core of the Big Bang model. Let's understand why we believe in that core model. Who came up with that idea? How is it put forward? How is it pioneered? How is it tested? How did observation conflict? How did scientists resolve that conflict? As I was saying earlier, this is a book about how science works, and so I wanted to take an example of a, a scientific theory that was well developed and tested, rather than a part of that theory that was still being challenged or still under debate. So the core of the book is about the history of the Big Bang and why we believe it's true, which is sort of fairly standard science. But on the other hand, I felt hadn't really been covered in sufficient detail for the lay reader. And then I came to the end of the book, and I thought, well, hang on, I can't just ignore the fact there are gaps in the Big Bang theory, that, you know, there are gaps in cosmology. So I have an epilogue where I touch on the issues of inflation and dark matter and dark energy and so on. And then it becomes a really difficult issue, because as a writer, once you go over a certain point, the reader just wants to know more and more, and there are more questions that need to be answered, and suddenly you start running into writing dozens and dozens and dozens of pages. So I deliberately kept it brief at the end, and point people towards many of those other books that do cover those frontiers of cosmology that people are working at today.
Right. I can imagine how just explaining any one of those topics would have kept you busy for a similarly sized book. So are there any pieces left with the Big Bang that people are working on now that maybe will sort of fill any outstanding pillars in the theory right now? What would you say is the big one that they're working on right now?
I think, for example, when I was an undergraduate, so about 20 years ago, and then I was sort of doing my cosmology or astronomy courses, you know, the question was, how would the universe end? And, you know, the assumption was that gravity would pull the universe back. Gravity would pull the galaxies back towards each other, certainly slow down the expansion, maybe stop the expansion, maybe even cause the universe to collapse in a big crunch. That was kind of the standard view. Gravity slows down the expansion. And then about a decade ago, a few observers started to try and measure that slowing down of the expansion by looking at supernovae. And the strange thing was that the universe is not slowing down. It's actually accelerating. It's getting faster and faster and faster. And I think those original measurements were made in about 1997. They were queried, they were made again, they were checked, they were double-checked, they were independently verified. And now it really does seem that we're in a kind of runaway universe. And if the universe is accelerating, then as well as gravity, there must be some kind of anti-gravity, some kind of long-range anti-gravity force that's driving this expansion, and that's what's generally labeled dark energy. So that's probably one of the greatest discoveries that sort of shaken the Big Bang theory. I don't think it contradicts the Big Bang theory. I don't think it undermines it, but it certainly highlights a lack of understanding in one part of the theory. So that's certainly an issue of great concern at the moment. I remember some time ago, I was traveling across America, and I was watching the David Letterman show, and he was talking about a newspaper story in the New York Times. And he opened the New York Times and he turned the pages and eventually got to page 13. And he started telling the audience about this story that the universe was accelerating. And I think the headline was, "Universe is going to rip itself apart." And he said, well, that's interesting for two reasons. First of all, the universe is going to rip itself apart. Secondly, this is only on page 13. You know, if this is really the case, it should be on the front page. So that's certainly one of the areas that cosmologists chat about over their coffee in the morning.
So I've got to know, what are you working on next?
I'm really not sure. I think this year I've spent a lot of time traveling. I've given talks in Canada and America. I've just come back from Australia and New Zealand and Greece and Germany. And this year I'll be going to Sweden and India and so on. It takes up a huge amount of time sort of once a book's been published. I've just finished a theatre project whereby I've been sort of giving science lectures in a West End theatre here in London, which has been a great success. In fact, you know, we were originally doing 9 shows, my colleague and myself, a chap called Richard Wiseman. He's a psychologist, so we look at kind of psychology, biology, physics, chemistry, astronomy. But we've been such a success, we've kind of extended the run and we've sold out new shows and we've sold out more shows. That's been great fun. But also a lot of my time has just been spent doing stuff I should have been doing for the last 2 or 3 years, but just been too busy writing the book. So once I've cleared out my backlog, once we've finished Theatre of Science, once I've sort of finished giving talks around the world this year, next year I'll start to focus on something new. But as yet, I'm really not sure what that'll be.
Well, Simon, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
It's been my pleasure. It's been good to talk to you.
Simon Singh is the author of Fermat's Enigma, The Code Book. His latest book, Big Bang, was published in hardcover earlier this year. If you enjoyed this interview and want to learn more about space and astronomy, please visit my website at universetoday.com. You can send me comments and feedback at info@universetoday.com. And if you want to listen to more astronomy-related podcasts, please check out my friends at Slacker Astronomy. Their website is located at slackerastronomy.org, and you can subscribe to their podcast there. Thanks for listening.